Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Put your hands up if anyone's ever asked you how quickly you can run 3 kilometres. No, we thought not. That's because bench press and barbecues are all that really matter in this world. Boys and girls, two masters of the old arts, flats and shanks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 5. Apparently, I said episode 5 last week when it was 4, but I'm saying 5 and it's 5 of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Tom Shanklin.
All right, fella?
Yeah, good, good. How are you, mate?
I'm all right.
Nice to be back in Bath.
Yeah, thanks for coming over 2 weeks in a row, mate.
No worries.
Good of you, that. I've just got a lot on, haven't I?
72 pence a mile, isn't it, petrol?
Mm. I just couldn't come to Cardiff because I've got to have lunch with a sex toy company today.
Have you really?
Yeah. Not a joke.
Who?
Love Honey, a Bath-based company. Online sex toys. There'd been a documentary on them on Channel 4. Very, very successful guys.
This way you got all the boxes in your living room, trying them out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Men's and women's.
They have a no quibbles returns policy.
Men's and women's?
Yeah, they got everything in there. I did a tour of the factory once, and the favourite thing I saw was a thing called 12 pounds of titties. And it's literally these massive boobs that you basically stick. I think they've got suckers on them and you stick them to the floor.
Yeah.
And the boobs just stick up in the air, and then you, I don't know, do what you want with them. Use them as a pillow.
So why meeting you?
Sing to them.
Because
it's actually, my friends own a magazine called Bath Life.
Yes.
And they do a Bath Life business club every month where they get some people, run owners of a different business.
Okay.
Successful business in all different sorts of worlds to come in and just talk about stuff. And it's all light and fun and whatever.
See, I just imagined you in a room full of women trying out different toys.
Sadly not, no. But it's funny, you go to their offices and they've just got like normal offices, but all of their like door handles and paperweights and that sort of stuff are all, you know, dildos.
That would be my ultimate job, working with someone like Anne Summers on the till. Just people coming up there with their goods.
Oi, oi.
This one for you, is it? Nice.
Oi, oi. Yeah. Buying it for a friend, are we?
Top seller, this one.
So they are, these guys, I went to a dinner with them last week in Bath as well, and sat on the same table as them, and they bring goodie bags everywhere they go, and you can imagine what's in the goodie bags.
No, I can't. What?
Sort of workman's tools, stuff like that.
Okay.
Chocolates.
Stuff, JCB stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing the thong now that I got from that dinner. It's great in the gym.
Something you'd expect to get from Tool Shed.
Yeah, only made of rubber.
B&Q.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So thanks for coming over. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem at all, boy.
By the way, Daisy the cat's just walked in. The dogs are around. We're in my sitting room. So it might get noisy. It's like a bloody zoo here, but we'll wait and see. Anyway, how are you?
Talking of zoos, mate.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Scott Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Mate. Incredible story.
I love it. Do you know what?
It's up there with the Andy Powell golf buggy.
Yeah. But what's even better is that I said this on Channel 5 last night, because it's, by the way, it's Monday morning where we are. One of the lads who was watching it said, "You all right, boy?" It's the first thing. Then the other one said to the other guy who ever had the phone, "Do you film that for Jeremy Beadle, boy?"
250
quid. Film that for Jeremy Beadle or what? I love that.
Incredible. So for those who don't know, Scott Baldwin got bitten by a lion They're out playing the Cheetahs in South Africa, and obviously a bit of downtime. They've gone and visited a lion park.
Yeah.
Some of the boys in the video, and we will retweet it later on today, but some of the boys in the video were stroking the lions. Yeah. And they were stroking the lions on the side. So they're stroking their bellies or sides. Scott Baldwin decides to stroke it on the nose,
which is right near its mouth,
behind the ears, like a cat. And the lion just grabs his hand, bites it.
A squealer though.
Yeah.
Squealer.
Did you see that? What I put?
Squealer. I didn't see that. What did you put?
So I'd like to think if the shoe was on the other foot and I got bitten, I wouldn't squeal like that.
Oh, did you?
Just a grimace.
Yeah. I'll just say a firm no, like self-defense.
Lucky though, could have been a lot worse.
Well, could it? Well, I suppose it could. It could have ripped his arm off.
Well, of course it could, yeah.
If it could have got around its wrist, he would have been in.
It might not let go.
But not the lines are like these days.
He's on a WhatsApp group, and he put on the group, he said, yeah, the Rangers said it'd be okay to stroke him. And he's put an emoji with a big nose.
Oh, the Pinocchio emoji.
Yeah. But he's literally trying to like stroke it round his head and his face.
I saw one tweet say, I meant to screenshot it, but I looked just now and I haven't. And it was someone saying, this is a disgrace. You shouldn't be allowed to play for us. And I was just like, oh, for
what?
God's
sake. Stroking
a
lion?
It's a stupid thing to do, but it's funny. He's had his hand bitten by a lion and he can see the funny side of it. I was like, oh, for Christ's sake. And then someone replied and said, bore off your nose, whatever. And it was like, yo, someone's paying his wages for the weeks he's injured. It's like, oh, piss off. Puts his neck on the line 4 days a week, mate.
He wasn't swimming with hippos.
People love to be outraged. They love to be outraged. How about just looking at it and thinking that is bloody funny because he got away with it?
Hippos kill more people than lions and crocodiles.
They kill more people than people. Yeah. That's not true. Yeah, hippos. I came close, mate, to hippo death.
Really?
Yeah, properly. I think they tried to mount me. Thought I was its wife or something. No, I was in a kayak in Zambia with Matt Powell, ex Worcester Warriors Dream Team 2005, Darren Morris's Sky Sports Dream Team, and our guide. And it was on. Remember Gav Johnson, the South African fullback?
Yes,
played
I
at Sarries. It was his lodge on the Zambezi.
Another freebie.
And him? No, it wasn't. Oh no, I won it for Young Player of the Year at Sarries. So up yours. You were playing that year. You didn't win it anyway. Because I won a watch the year before for Young Player of the Year. Then I won a holiday the next year. Sorry about that.
I was Welsh. I went on Lions tour.
Yeah, mind you, they have to pick a certain number of Welshies. So, I presume you were there for midweek banter anyway. I could have done that. So I went on this thing and the hippos disappear under the water. And the guys like go, just start paddling. And then suddenly the guide, who's like seen it all before, lived there his whole life, starts screaming this super high-pitched scream. Go, 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 go. We were like, shit, go, go, go. We're in kayaks. We're moving at like 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I'm shit in a kayak, as you might imagine. I'm basically like a hippo in a kayak with opposable thumbs.
I don't know. Your upper body would be good. Paddling.
Thank you. And got away. And the hippo like burst out of the water. By that time, it was realistically 20 metres, 30 metres behind us.
Yeah.
But where we were. And he said, they see where you are. They go under and they pop up where you were. And he's like, that is a direct attack. He is coming for us. And this guy panicked and was screaming. And we were properly shitting it. Anyway, we got right down the river and we stopped like for a laugh and whatever. And it was like, bloody hell, can you imagine that? And then there are crocodiles. They're on the side and they're miles away and they're not that big. They're probably 6 feet long, but that's not very big for a crocodile. He's like, crocodiles, you've got the camera. Yeah, yeah. So the crocodiles are there. And two crocodiles just slip into the water like 50 yards away. And Powley just gets the oar and fucking whacks me in. Oars me right under the armpit. Get in there. Have some of that. Practical joke. Puts me in with crocs.
Shit yourself.
Camera gone, the lot. But survived it, man. Survived
it. Well done.
That was after the England tour in 2000. Just stayed out there. Lots of people go on holidays with their wives and girlfriends, but I just Powley flew out and we went on the piss in Zambia.
With hippos.
Yeah.
What other news has been going on? Danny Wilson.
Cardiff.
Yes.
Yeah, he gave a pretty stinging pre-match interview, didn't he?
Yeah, he was also on Scrum 5 yesterday as well, and Peter Jackson did a piece on the Blues, and it's just not good PR. I think it's 6 coaches in 6 years.
Peter Jackson doesn't muck about. He's actually a very insightful guy, and he says, he goes, he's pretty punchy.
He does, yeah, he does. Initially, I thought that the Blues weren't renewing Danny Wilson's contract, but it's actually of his own accord.
He made sure he got that in the interview I saw.
It's big, isn't it? You know, you don't want to be sacked from your job if you're
yep.
not becoming head coach the following season. You know, you want to make sure that you're stepping away.
And the club, if you don't say that, the club will write a statement.
Yeah, they probably will.
That doesn't, you know, doesn't.
They will. A lot of talk where he's going, potentially Northampton as forwards coach.
Instead of Dorian West.
That's what I've heard, mate.
Drop the mate bit. We'll talk about Saints in a minute, but yeah, it's
all to do with budgets, and you know, he can't, from Danny Wilson's point, he can't grow the squad that he wants with the budgets that are being set and the money that is being given to the region. So it's a tough one for him.
All he's got to do is get the owner to like start offering players deposits on houses.
Yeah,
that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, the problem with the owner is that he's owed 14 million as well and wants that money back.
Aren't we all, mate? Aren't we all?
I'm not owed 40 million.
Me neither.
Close.
Yeah, that is a pretty stinging assessment of where Blues are at, isn't
it? When
you're
talking about the capital city club, you know, the club that probably should have
in a rugby nation.
Yeah, the club that probably should have the biggest commercial revenue.
Yeah. Does it? Scarlett's has more commercial revenue.
It does, yeah.
I think you told me that on the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You weren't meant to say it live, but
wasn't I?
We'll let it slip.
Said that.
So yeah, not good.
That's not good.
Not good times at the moment.
But it's one of those things that, you know, you sit here and you say, well, Cardiff should be the biggest club. It should be the best funded club. Should have the best resources, best facilities. Although facilities, I think, mean pretty much nothing.
It does have great facilities.
But it should have a great stadium, at least for the fans. But then you think, well, Cardiff should be flying. And they should be at least quarterfinals of Europe every season, the big Europe, Champions Cup. They should be bang up there like they kind of used to be for a while. But then you think, well, actually, it's easy for us to say that, but someone's got to go along and pay for it.
Yeah.
Someone's got to say, well, I'm willing to lose 5 million quid a year or 8 million quid a year to make this a great club. And if I had 10 billion in the bank, I wouldn't do that.
No, well,
let alone 50 million.
Well, you probably would if you had 10 billion.
I don't know. Why would you want to just go give away millions of pounds?
You're not buying rugby clubs to be profitable. You know, you're buying them for the kudos. You're buying them as a hobby more so. You know, if you've got money to invest, you're not investing it in a rugby club.
No, you're buying classic cars and making money on them.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's funny. I mean,
you're buying sex toys.
Everyone's different. Yeah, because it's never has been, and probably never will be an option. I've never thought about buying a rugby club, but I also think why. Like for kudos, I've never understood the idea. I buy some nice stuff every now and again. I've never understood the idea of buying something nice for kudos. It's like, here's, you know, it's kind of like, why would you buy a bigger house for kudos?
Some people do.
I just couldn't be asked.
Maybe we should buy a rugby club and become like Gary Neville and
let's go in with
Manchester
Jim and Goody
boys.
From the rugby pod. Let's four of us go in and buy Cardiff Blues.
We couldn't buy Cardiff Blues. Let's go smaller to start with.
Let's get Old Foreskinians.
Let's go Dragons.
Luton.
Let's go Dragons.
Or go the King's Cross Steelers.
Okay. Yeah.
Aren't they the gay ones? Because I had a few tweets of them once. They're actually really funny. Go there. So this has got USP then.
Yeah.
At least something to talk about.
Okay, we're in.
All right. Well, I got 48 quid.
What have you done this week?
Oh, do you know what? You know, the first thing people say, pretty much everybody, right, is when you see someone is, how you doing, mate? You busy? Keeping busy? It's what everyone says, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm busy, but good busy.
So true. So I was at this dinner on the Wednesday night, Thursday night, wherever it was last week. And I was there with, when was it? What day is it? Anyway, Thursday night. And I was on the same table as these Love Honey guys, but also Mike Catt and his wife, who are just class people. Like
ambassadors, were they?
Hey?
Ambassadors for Love Honey, were they?
Ambassadors for Love Honey. And Mike Catt's wife's called Ali, which is the greatest thing in the history of the world. She's called Ali Catt. Anyway, Catty was there and I was like, how you doing, mate? You busy? And he was like, nah. You? I said, nah. What are you doing this week? And he said, fuck all. You know, it's just like, he is busier than that and I am busier than that. But last week was particularly chilled. So a load of school runs, all that sort of stuff. And cut a couple of mornings where just, mate, it's just beautiful. Like, I write this article for...
You've got no agenda. You can do what you want.
Yeah, like I write this article every fortnight for Bath Life magazine. And I've done it for years because I love it. And people assume whatever, but I've never been paid a penny for that article. And I absolutely wouldn't dream of asking for a penny. I just love doing it. And I've loved the magazine since I moved it. So it's just a little thing that I enjoy doing. But I wrote about they asked me to write about something, and I was like, I'm actually going to write about my Tuesday, which is not that interesting to anyone else. But I got to the point where I was like, could David Beckham do a Tuesday better than this? And you could argue that he could hire a plane and fly to Vegas. I wouldn't want to do that. Like, what I did was wake up when I wanted, took the kids to school, I walked the dogs, I'd got my electric bike down to the gym, had a workout, I went back, got a baguette on the way home, I chilled out on the sofa watching a bit of telly with a coffee and a baguette, and I thought about half one, I was like, do you know what? I want another coffee from that place. So I got back on my electric bike and I went down and sat in town, read the papers and had a coffee. It was like...
So you're getting use out of it then?
Then I use it all the time. Then I picked my kids up from school at 5 o'clock and it was just like, this is the best Tuesday ever. Like, if I had a billion quid...
5 o'clock? Tuesday. That's late.
I know, mate. But they do school.
They got like acorns or something like that after.
No, they got like... Mate, it's nuts. The school right now, they do like... The other day, one of them did... dramatic art, performing arts, judo and hockey, and the next day it's pom-pom dance with cheerleading, so pom dancing, gardening and karate or something. It's nuts.
Yeah,
they're flat out in clubs every day.
Well, you know, if I could come back in someone else's life, I used to want to be Garth Edwards, you know, I thought I'd like his life, but you might have topped him now. I think I'd like to come back as David Flatman.
Yeah. I don't have many Tuesdays like that, but I had a Tuesday and a Wednesday like that last week, and it was just beautiful.
Have you got a Monday day? I'm gonna call them Flatman days now. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just having a Flatman day.
But it, I mean, you know, when you're self-employed, you can worry about weeks like that. But as long as you've got stuff in the diary coming up, it's all right.
You're a bit sweaty this morning, though, aren't you?
Oh, I didn't want to talk about it.
Open the door, light blue t-shirt on, dripping.
Oh, been at CrossFit again.
Thought you just had a massive shit.
No, I jogged in from the kitchen. Yeah, I just did a 7 a.m. CrossFit WOD, which is workout of the day, by the way, guys. It wasn't too bad. It was EMOM.
Yeah.
So every minute on the minute, you do 3 deadlifts, not heavy, roughly 50% of your max, and you just do 3 on the minute every minute for 10 minutes.
All right.
Which is pretty easy. And because I was with another guy who... you pair up because there are so many of us there. So I was with another guy who...
Random?
Yeah, random. Much fitter than me, but not as strong. And that's obviously about strength. So I went on his weight, which was a lot, which was quite nice and light. So it was quite a nice, easy... Because I haven't been doing a lot of lifting lately. Getting back into it. And then we did another little workout after that, which was row 1,000 metres.
Yeah.
Do 50 thrusters, which is hold a weight in front of you, as you know. Full squat, arse to the grass. Stand up again, push it above your head. That's one. You do 50 of those and then 30 chin-ups.
I saw Will Greenwood tweet a picture or Insta a picture recently of a workout, because he does actually have some really good workouts. And I like to do them when he posts them.
He's in great nick, Will.
It was row 1,000 metres, do 100 double unders.
Yeah.
And then 900 metres, 90 double unders. Yeah. All the way down to 100 metres.
And 10.
10.
That's good.
Yeah, he's always good, worth a follow, even if you just want some sessions.
Yeah, that is useful, actually.
I went to the gym this morning as well.
What'd you do, beach?
No, well, I did a load
of... You said you'd been letting yourself go a bit, didn't you?
I did a load of bench.
You showed me your fat tummy last week, and I was like, that is leaner than me at my best ever shape.
I did a load of bench to start with.
Standard.
So, like, 130 kilos, reps of 8, whatever.
Oh.
I superset it with chins.
Good lifting that, mate, for a retired centre.
Superset it with chins, just doing 10 chins.
Overgrip, undergrip.
Overgrip, mate.
Sets of 10.
Yeah, work in the back. Then I did some triceps and a little bit more chest, and I did spin. 45 minutes, bosh.
Jeepers.
Done. And I had all my breakfast in the car ready for me. I had like boiled eggs, banana.
Night before.
Protein shake. Yeah, night before.
Oh my God, what a loser.
Yeah, but I went straight to McDonald's.
Did you?
Double sausage and egg. And it was like fresh as well, because you bite into it, like the oil was dripping off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important that people don't think we're trying to be whiter than white here. I went to Mackie D's on the way home from Coventry last night, and I got a large Big Mac meal, a quarter pounder of cheese, and a large Diet Coke on a drive through.
And a fillet fish for the wife.
And half a pint for Whippet.
What were you saying? You saying something, though? It's like the golden 24 hours. Is that right?
Yeah, well... My wife is here somewhere at home, and she's gone upstairs for a conference call, I think, or she says she has. I think she's having an affair.
Honey, love.
She said, isn't it, love, honey? She said, isn't it, isn't it right you can eat what you want after you train? And I remember we used to call it the gold, after a game it was a golden 24 hours. That quickly became the golden 48. And then it was, look, if you're training hard, you can pretty much eat what you want. It's like a load of bollocks.
Burning it. I'm just burning the calories.
Yeah.
But I did fasted, basically I did fasted cardio this morning. So I did that CrossFit workout and it was too early for me to have breakfast. So I call it fasted cardio. That's what people call it.
Ian Thorpe used to have an unbelievable amount of calories.
Yeah.
You know, in training.
That's just because of his feet, isn't it?
And competition.
Yeah, but his feet were size 27.
And swimming's not that hard.
Okay, so. Like a clown walking around the place. No wonder he needed a bit of energy, flapping those things around. But my when I was a rugby player, my breakfast, the last few years when I actually took nutrition seriously, my breakfast was absolutely ridiculous, what I used to eat for breakfast every day.
Go on, give us an example.
So I used to have, this is every day, so I got into a routine where, I say every day, probably 6 days a week I had this.
Okay.
I would have 4 eggs on 4 pieces of toast, poached eggs, with Marmite.
Okay, what bread? It's important.
Brownie, grainy.
Okay.
Always organic. I never knew if that made a difference, but I always got organic.
Does makes a difference.
You've got to try and find a way to spend it, haven't you?
It's a difference to the price.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, probably right. So, yeah, 4 poached eggs on 4 pieces of toast with butter, no butter, with Marmite. I would have a pint of Super Greens with water. Yeah. I'd have a protein shake with loads of stuff in it, and I'd get all my vitamins, and I used to split all the vitamins open. And I basically made a smoothie with protein powder, rip all the vitamin pills open or grind them up in a little grinder, put them all in the shake. But I would have mixed nuts. I would have either a bit of maple syrup or honey. I would have a couple of bananas.
Natural sugar.
I'd have fruit. And I'd make it all in a big NutriBullet, but I'd have loads, like the big carton thing. I'd have that, you know, one of those every morning. I'd have 2 or 3 espressos, a pint of water that I would chop, and generally a bowl of cereal. So I'd have quite a lot of breakfast. And
what cereal? Are we talking like Cocoa Pops?
Chris Hoy's Start.
I've not heard of that for years.
Yeah. No, but often I'd generally have some meat in there as well. So I'll try to be all virtuous. I usually have a pack of bacon. So I usually have a pack of bacon a day. So I would average six packs of bacon a week.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why I ended up rearing my mate's garden, rearing my own pig.
That's why I ended up morbidly obese. I thought you could say that.
Morbidly obese. Yeah. But as you saw today, I had a bowl of cereal today. That was it. That's why I'm so bloody lean now.
Yeah. You actually did look a little bit thinner on, because you
saw
had
myself
a,
on
you
Channel
had a hard,
5 last night, though, and I had a big old gut on me.
But you relaxed in the summer, didn't you?
Oh, my God, yeah.
You openly said that. You know, you didn't go to the gym for like 3 days. And you, but you, I could see by your face, because you're in a competition, aren't you? Are you still in that competition?
Mark Durden-Smith, yeah. It's not who can lose the most weight. It's who can lose the most percentage of initial body weight.
Yeah.
Because if he loses a stone, it'll make a difference. If I lose a stone, you won't see it at all. So if I lose 3 stone, then I'll still be 18 stone, which is quite sobering. Until I drive past Mackie D's on the way home from Cov, then I'm still in. Hey, did you see Israel Folau tackle that guy's hair?
Yeah. I love the interview with Michael Checker after.
Oh, what did he say?
He just dismissed it. He said, you can clearly see Folau grabbed his collar. Next question.
It's football manager stuff, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
He kicked him. No, he didn't. Okay.
Yeah. And then there's clear photos after of grabbing his hair. But also, if you've got long hair and you've got a ponytail and you're playing rugby, like, expect it to get pulled.
Yeah, I hate to agree with that. But
that's why I kept it short.
I would
always.
Yeah, me too.
No, but it is. It's just going to get in the way of something.
You and I could have gone full Terry Nutkins, couldn't we? Full Phil Collins on it. I don't know, mate. I think you should. It's reasonable to expect it not to get pulled. Because it should be gentlemanly, but then I do think always be one who pulls it.
I know you, and if you saw hair in a mall, it's gone.
Unless it was like Alassana Tuolangi's, and then he can do what he fucking wants.
Yeah.
If it was a bit of a pussy, you'd pull his hair, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course you would.
Yeah, you'd have a crack at him. If it was Matt Powell, ex-Worcester Warriors, you'd have a tug at that.
Yeah, you would.
How about this Carl Sinclair gouging? Alleged.
It looks pretty much gouging to me, mate. He's in trouble. Yeah, he's in trouble. I saw a couple of frames of fingers in the eye. And
yeah.
He pulls his head scrum out off to start with, and then you do see fingers in Michael Patterson's eye.
Goes back for a second bite.
Yeah, he goes back for a second bite. He's nowhere near the ball. You're not even allowed to play the ball on the floor. He's in trouble.
Okay, so what is kind of frustrating is, and this is just for me, not for anyone else. I do that Channel 5 show with Durders and whatever. And we sometimes sit in the media room and watch the games in there, so you can hear the commentary and if the weather's crap and that
see
sort of
the
stuff.
Replays and all that.
See the replay, and I kind of prefer watching rugby like that. But sometimes we say, God, we should just sit outside like everyone else and actually enjoy the atmosphere, but yeah, enjoy our work, because otherwise you're just driving to Coventry to sit in a windowless press room. So
yeah, but you're showbiz. You've got to turn it on when the cameras are on, not when they're off.
Yeah, it's true. So it's like, we were like, do you know what? Let's actually watch most of this game outside. And it got to the point, we wanted to talk about Sinclair, and we hadn't seen I'd seen the replays the day before. The replays had improved by the time that Wasps Bath came around.
That's just technology, mate.
That's tech, but they'd got better frames and
always
close-ups
improving.
And zoomed in or whatever they did. And I was just like, they got all FBI on it. And we hadn't seen those. You go and we say, look, from what we've seen, we don't know if he's done it. Now, I've seen, since the show went out, I've seen the enhanced replays that anyone who watched BT Sport will have seen. But we were watching in the media seats, so we just didn't see them.
Okay.
So it's kind of a pain in the ass, actually, and it just means we should probably sit in media rooms rather than in seats.
Okay, so essentially you're backtracking a little bit now.
No, not at all.
No, okay.
I mean, the very first thing I said was, if he's done it, ban him for a long time.
Yeah.
Simple, because, you know, I've got little girls who didn't play rugby. They now play little rugby at school, and I'm the same as anyone else. I don't want people's eyes getting gouged out when they're playing rugby. But it's funny.
You've covered yourself there by saying if he's gouging, that's it. He's gone.
Yeah.
Fine.
I haven't covered myself. That's what I think.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we, you know, Durders and I talked about what we were going to say about it before the link. And I said, look, this is what I actually feel. And he said, well, if it's what you actually feel, say it. Don't not say it, because there might be five people that object to you saying it. So I said, look, if someone gouges, hammer them, right? Or if someone ban them for a long time. But then I went on and I watched the show last night, and I thought, when I got home, am I going to get a bit of stick for that? And
so what did you say?
I said the first bit, which I've told you, which is if he's done it, ban him for a long time. Yeah. Then I said, but Mark Durden-Smith basically asked a completely reasonable question, which was, why on earth would anyone in this day and age even think about doing that? Basically, because you're going to get caught. Apart from the fact it's bloody unsafe, you're going to get caught, or dangerous, you're going to get caught. My point was, you're right, but you're expecting, I said, these people, I've got to fit this into about 15 seconds, which for me is very difficult. So you can never quite get your whole point out. You need an hour, really. But my point was, they're not like you. You're at home on the sofa or in the stands.
They're not thinking rationally.
With
your
brogues on, thinking straight. They're not like you. They're not. Their heart rate is 180 plus. They're flat out. They're also so aggressive and competitive and driven.
Yes.
They're so driven, you can't understand it. And it's one of those things that people get insulted when you say that stuff, but you can't understand where those players are at because you haven't been there.
And some players are different to others. Like Carl Sinclair, I don't know him right, but he looks a bit of a hothead. I saw Danny Kerr miss a pass to him and he just went mad.
Yeah, he is a hothead, yeah.
He went crazy because the pass went across him to another forward.
Yeah.
Whilst others are quite cool and calm and I suppose it depends your position as well, because being a front row is quite confrontational, so you've got to get up all the time because every scrum, every carry is a big carry. It's aggressive.
You're constantly trying to get yourself to, you know, this is going to sound like love honey again, max arousal. So maximum arousal, it's not sexual arousal, but you've got to get yourself absolutely ready, like to have a fight every time you go into a scrum. Doesn't mean you've got to be growling. It means your body's got to be ready to go to 100%.
Yeah, you're peaking all the time, aren't you? Like with aggression levels, you're up, then you're down again because you can't be up the whole time.
Yeah, you're up, down, up, down. So there was literally two people, or three people said, you cannot excuse gouging. And I was like, that's actually not what I've done. And you realise that two people objecting or three people objecting actually isn't very many considering how many people watch the show. So if you're affected by that, then it's the tip of the tail wagging the dog, isn't it? So I'm not affected by that. But also, I know what I said and I'm comfortable with that, so that's fine. But then you find people, one guy firing into me, who three tweets later turned out hadn't seen it, you know? So it's kind of like...
Do you want me to look for him, back you up?
No. Okay. Ollie Barkley said, I haven't seen it, but you're an animal. Or I missed it, you're an animal. But I think, you know, every now and again, people are going to misconstrue what you say or take something different from it, and that's fine. But it's one of those things, it's not an excuse, it's a reason, and there is a difference. And I think...
You've just given a reason as to why someone like that would gouge.
My view is that it's... I actually think it's... I think it's admirable how rarely players at this level do it. And it's so easy. And I hate people who say, you haven't been there, you don't know. But I hate it when people say that. But it kind of, it's the first time I think I've ever said it as a pundit. But the intensity levels and the pressure is not an excuse. People just do things that seem crazy. The reason you watch them is because they're different from you. And every now and again, players step over the line and they've got to be punished and hammered for it, 100%. But I actually think it's remarkable that they don't step over the line in this kind of manner more often. Because when you think about 15 years ago, this sort of stuff wasn't commonplace, but it was bloody everywhere. It was happening all the time. There was loads of gouging when I was at Sarries, when I was at the first couple of years at Bath. There was loads of punching and gouging and elbowing and kneeing. There was loads of it. And fish hooking and all sorts of horrible shit and getting your ears stamped off. And there was shit loads of that. And people don't want to hear it because it's awful. But the game's changed and that's a great thing. But there are people that you know and love as rugby legends who gouged and got gouged reasonably regularly. And now people are starting to consider the dangers of that and it's stopping. But I think the what's the word? The rareness or how little it, how seldom it actually happens, I think is admirable because these guys are properly on the limit.
And breathe now, mate. Breathe. I thought the ref handled it really well. He said that he couldn't see anything clear because it wasn't that clear. Until we saw super duper high def, that's a proper term, that is replays. And he said, look, if there's anything serious, 4K. If there's anything serious, you know, he will be sanctioned after the game. So I thought he handled that really well. Did a Q&A with Jerry Gasker on Thursday.
Jerry doesn't give a fuck. Jerry.
We did it for breaks, right? It's a whole set. So we played golf and then we did a Q&A after, but we went on right on the bloody graveyard shift. We had a comedian called Kev Orkane. Remember the one he did at the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Really funny. He does like a... He pretends he's from...
Lithuania or
Albania
something.
Albania or something, yeah. Yeah, and he's sort of a bit like Borat. He gets
very
all his,
funny.
Gets all his words mixed up. And then Jerry and I went on at about 11:30 to do a Q&A and Ian Stafford was the MC and, you know, he got myself and Jerry to talk about... So you got Jerry to talk about me, what I was like as a player, and then I had to talk about what Jerry was like as a player. And Jerry sort of compared me to him a lot. Said, you know, wasn't as fast as him, wasn't as good as him, which is true.
Stronger than him though.
But yeah, and I was very obviously complimentary to Jerry because bit of a hero, him and Scott Gibbs for me. You know, back in the day, I wish I just said, look, basically Jerry's a good player, but I'm a much better bloke.
Yeah, and you retired a long time ago. You've been a ship bloke ever since.
I wish I had said that.
Yeah, wish you had.
But I find it hard, like, to, because they are, you know, especially when you're looking at heroes like that who played the game, especially like in '97 when that drop kick and that tour on the Lions, and probably the same for you. Like you're watching that tour, and that sort of drove you to want to sample that sort of life and that sort of eliteness.
I didn't play for the Lions.
But you played professional rugby for a long, long time.
Yeah, and Jerry is funny because Jerry's obviously missed.
And you know what it's like with the Lions. It's right time, right place.
Yeah, exactly. I was just injured. Otherwise, I'd have been captain. But yeah, what I love about Jerry is that if you ask people, you know, right, yes or no, on the spot, do you care what other people think? They'll say no. And almost always, if you give them 10 seconds, they'll say, and you make them be honest, they'll say, oh, I do actually a bit, yeah. Jerry actually doesn't. He actually doesn't care what you think. And he absolutely is honest about... I've never known him tell a lie. He's absolutely honest. And if you ask what he was like, he's like, I was fucking brilliant. And everyone laughs. And he's like, oh, what? You saw me. I was brilliant. Like, could you play now? He's like, no, I didn't like tackling enough. But I didn't play now. I played then. And I was better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Easy. Found it easy. And I love that. Just absolutely straight shooter. And actually secretly a really, really nice man. But he doesn't like people knowing that.
Three cheers for Jerry.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want a bet?
Let's have a bet.
You want a bet? You betcha.
First of all, well done on Sale Gloucester.
Yeah, sneak that. I said four or more, didn't I?
Said four or more. Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? I was quite
we'll
aggressive.
Talk about that later on.
Yeah, okay.
But well done. This week, we're going to bet on the Pro 14.
Yeah.
Blues v Dragons, Friday night in the Arms Park.
Mate, no one watches rugby in Wales anymore. Bet on the Premiership.
I know, but you. I remember you said right at the start that I could have one bet a year on the Pro 14, and I'm picking the Welsh Derby. The Dragons have been doing okay at the moment. Gav Henson.
Super Gav. No surprise.
Steering the ship for the Gwent Dragons.
He should play for Wales, mate.
No, he's gone now, mate. But we're going to bet on the Blues Dragons. I'm going to say, I think it's going to be a really tight game. Blues aren't in a great place at the moment, but it is home at the Arms Park. It is a derby. Teams tend to get up for the derby a little bit more.
Can you properly get up for a derby on a plastic pitch?
Especially when you're... Mate, most of the pitches are plastic now.
It's like training, mate.
When I say most, probably three.
All right, so what's the scoreline then? Go on then.
The Blues are going to win by 2 points or more. It's going to be that close.
Oh, God. No. You can have the bet, but make it more than 2 points. At least say four like I did, so it's more than a penalty. Come on.
The Blues are going to win by 3 points or more.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Yep. Terms and conditions do apply. Make sure you're over 18. Enjoy the weekend action, mate.
I was at Wasps against Bath, which was Kieran Dyer.
Should we start with that one?
Yeah, it was really, really boring.
Danny, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was proper.
And you I thought it was going to be a great game.
Oh, it's always the way, isn't it? It's always the way, Tom.
Do you know, they do miss Cipriani a lot. Mm. I know Gopeth is very good at 10, but he can also play 12 as well.
Yeah. My thinking was that as soon as you got Cipriani at 10, you got Gopeth at 12, and you got double the distribution for the weapons out wide.
Exactly.
So you just makes them a double threat.
Whilst when you've got only Gopeth at 10, you've only really got one good passer of the ball that can get the ball wide. So
yeah,
it becomes a lot harder.
Elliot Daly looked good. He always does, though.
Yeah. It'd be interesting now to see who gets, for you, the 13 shirt, because you've got Daly, you've got Joseph, and you've also got Slade.
Yeah, very interesting.
And they did a bit of a comparison, and Slade at the moment is bossing the stats. I know games aren't all based on stats, but in terms of meters gained...
He's running the show.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I would like to see... you could put Jonathan Joseph in and he would be great because he's a brilliant player. But I would quite like to see Slade at 13 and Daly on the wing. I know you're dropping a winger then, but that's what I want. So that's what's going to happen. All right.
Rocketo and Gooney.
Yeah.
Finished off another lovely try.
I was watching that try and they showed it on the big screen. I was at Rico and I was like, Chris Cook hasn't knocked the ball on once in that ruck before. He's knocked it on twice.
I know.
I thought that was clear.
His hand is on the ball and it's gone forward. And
twice.
Then he has another go. Yeah.
That's two knock-ons. And I was like, this. I mean, 9 points in it, so ultimately it didn't make a big difference. But Woss could have scored a dropper or a penalty or something and got a point. But it was like...
I
was just like, that is bizarre. Because we're watching it and it's like, oh, that's a shame. Because it was a really well-taken try, that, with a good kick from Joseph. And they gave it. And we were looking at all of us, all the TV, what, looking at each other like, what?
I know. I mean, Wasps massively missed Nathan Hughes when he went off.
Yeah, he was mega. He was just nudging people. I mean,
he does. Zach Mercer,
he was rapping boys in cling film.
His man of the match.
Yeah, he's quite something on the ball, Zach Mercer.
He's Watson as well. You know, whether he's a winger, whether he's 15, when that ball is in his hands and he runs it back.
Yeah, danger, high voltage. I want him at fullback, Tommy. Can I make that clear?
Fullback.
I want him at fullback.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You can have him,
especially as there's only room for one out and out winger because Elliot Daly's on the wing for England. That's what I'm saying.
Sale Gloucester.
Yeah,
didn't see that one coming.
I went quite hard on Gloucester on the telly,
especially after last week with Gloucester.
But it's so predictable, mate. It's what they've always done.
Yeah,
and I called it pathetic on the TV, which is a bit punchy. And I actually hate. I don't like pundits who are deliberately aggressive just because they've got an opportunity to be aggressive. Oh, I'm going to take an editorial line and stick to it. But just, everyone's kind. As I'm a rugby fan, I'm not a Gloucester fan, but I'm a rugby fan, and I love Gloucester, and I want them to do well because I'm from the West. I'm living in the West Country, all that stuff. I want them to be a force, and it just annoys me that they lost by 50 points to Sale. It's like, I don't know why it annoys me, but it does, because I just know they've got so many good players and so many good people. It's just like, and it bugs me a bit because, you know, one of the team managers, one of my great mates, and I really like David Humphreys, and I really like John Arfoa, and I love Hibbard and loads of their players, and Trinder and those guys. And I'm like, lads, come on. You know, I'm not even a Gloucester supporter, but it frustrates me.
The Denis Salomona first try is just pure brilliance.
Oh, yeah, he is brilliant.
I mean, I thought his foot might have been in touch on the dead ball line. It was really close.
Holds that ball like a cricket ball, doesn't it?
I know. But I've not seen a team like Gloucester. It was like Intercept City passes thrown from Gloucester, wasn't it? Billy Burns, crap chip, cleaned up. And then what was a little bit annoying, probably if you're a Gloucester fan, is when Faf de Klerk chips over and McGuigan scores.
Yeah.
Is it Halifanua, the winger?
Yeah.
Average chasing back, just jogging. You can't do like that. If he was sprinting, he probably would have snuffed that try out and it wouldn't have been scored.
You've got to be flat out, haven't you?
And then, for me, it was like the turning point in that game was the 32-minute mark and it was 14-3. And Gloucester, right on the front foot, 12th trees, tries to throw a pass over the top, doesn't quite get it high enough. McGuigan
99.
Like, he's not even looking. He sort of takes it backwards.
He's flying at the moment.
And gone. But... probably it's like five or six passes Gloucester threw which were intercepted, and the point with intercept passes is when you're playing flat you can't throw long balls, because when you're playing flat in defenders' faces they're right in the passing line, you know. If you're throwing long balls they have to be deep, and they were just getting picked off, so
trying to get the ball wide from a flat position,
yes,
and it doesn't work.
You can't, because
unless you go all the way over the top.
But then the ball's in the air for a long time as well.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult. You know, if you're playing flat, you've got to play through the line.
You've got to pull it back or play through the line,
Newcastle.
They're flying. Do you see Gonover?
No, oh, you can't say flying. You've got to say into something else. They're gliding.
They are...
Yeah.
What's the
soaring.
Right. Soaring, yeah.
Okay.
Soaring, they're flapping. Nicky Gonover, oh my days. And Nili Latu... just brilliant. Like Nicky Gonner. And that midfield, I find that midfield, because they got Maxime Mermoz there, who's got a load of French caps and whatever. And I honestly don't reckon, if he's fit next week, I don't reckon he gets in the team. I reckon Soshino or Chris Harris has to get injured for him to get in the team. They're playing so well.
Northampton beating Harlequins.
And by the way, Marshall at 10 for London Irish. London Irish were poor again, started really slowly again. But that 10 Marshall is brilliant. James Marshall, really, really good to watch. Okay. Really, really exciting player. But yeah, Northampton are back.
Do you think people have stopped calling for Jim Mallander to get sacked now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's weird, again, because, you know, I think it's because I'm a... Just because we're rugby fans or whatever.
Love rugby.
You know, I know Jim to say hello to. We're not friends. I don't have his phone number, nothing like that. But I'm always... there's something in me that after round one, everyone's saying he's got to go, there's got to be a change. And there's something in me that says fucking yes when they win a load of games and he can stand smiling in a post-match interview. And I'll be honest with you, mate, I don't care if Northampton win games or not because that's not my job to care about that.
You're like that, have that.
Yeah,
with your middle,
that.
With your middle finger
have
up.
Have that, you bastards. But it's kind of like, I sort of think, yeah, go on, mate. You know.
Right, a lot of good wingers playing at the moment. Tom loads, Collins.
Loads. Alex Lewington.
Yes. Yeah. Who do England go for? Right now, who would be the two wingers?
Hardest position to call, I reckon.
Yeah.
At the moment. I reckon second row is pretty tough too. I reckon...
Tom Collins got a shout, or is it still too early? For me, it's too early.
Tom Collins could play. Alex Lewington could comfortably play for England. He's a really good player. Who do I think they will go for? Again, I really want to see Slade in the team, and I want to see Daly. And for me, with Farrell and Ford at 12 and 10, I think that means Daly on the wing. That leaves, you know...
Should we put Daly at 15?
Watson plays 15 all the time. Why not put him there?
Okay.
Also, and... This seems controversial, and I never know why. How can you drop Mike Brown? Like, if you're actually coaching that team and you're playing in that team, Mike Brown's an animal.
Because he missed Greg Bateman.
No, that's a hard tackle to make. That I maintain that's a difficult tackle to make.
We talked about that last week. Yeah, okay.
But everyone misses your tackle. But I just think if he's on your team, you know, you love his attitude. You love it. It's like people who were Bath fans for years, probably, or weren't English, probably thought, you know, whoever it was, Jono was a Leicester fan. Jono was a, but you'd want him on your team every time.
I don't really care, mate, to be honest. He's, I can, like, if he plays or not. Obviously, because I don't support England, but.
Yeah. But maybe Watson, fullback, and then on the other wing, it's so hard.
It is hard, mate.
Lewington, Collins.
I really feel for you.
Johnny May.
Really feel for you.
One of them, yeah?
Yeah. Saracen's winning again. Stan.
What's the battling at the moment?
Who did I hear? Like, potentially looking at coming to Saracens. Is it Ben Teo?
Why not?
Teo.
Why not?
Yeah.
I did hear. I heard on Twitter the other day that Alex Lazowski, the fly half, is talking about, someone said he's going to Chiefs, and then someone else said he's going back to Wasps.
Really?
That's what they've heard, yeah. It's just what I heard, mate.
He needs to be playing every week.
He does need to be first choice somewhere. But do you know what? I think he's great. But no one's replacing Steenson at Chiefs for the next little while.
No.
He's the man.
How old is Steenson?
Steenson's 40 now.
Okay. Plenty of life then.
I don't know actually, but they're so much better when he's playing 10.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see Henry Slade playing 10, but you just cannot replace Steeno because he's the man.
He is good, isn't he?
And then whilst you've got Sippers and Goppers.
Yeah.
You know? It's hard graft replacing those boys, isn't it?
No, massively.
I wouldn't want to tell you that, free of charge. Should we call up? Is that the end of the rugby chat now?
I don't know. Is there anything worth talking about in the Pro 14?
Argentina are quite poor, unfortunately, against New Zealand.
Yeah, I've not. Guts
me a bit. They've gone backwards a bit, I think.
Oh, the Cheetahs beating the Ospreys because Scott Baldwin wasn't playing.
Oh, yeah.
They've done well at home.
It's good. I'm glad they won because they start winning games. It gives the whole thing more credibility.
That's what I wanted to talk about, the Scarlets-Connacht game.
Okay.
Scarlets are just flying the flag for the Welsh Rangers at the moment.
Yeah.
Playing really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Like, just the intent there, the offloading game.
It's funny how Wales don't seem to coax that out of the same players, isn't it?
Everyone is saying that, mate. Everyone. Like, they go out there and they try things.
That's just my thought.
They try things, they're offload. It was right down to the end. And Ty Burns scored.
Mm.
Go back to Ireland.
Yeah.
Second row done really well for the Scarlets. He scored, but John Davis, Steph Evans, Johnny McNichol, Lee Halfpenny scoring.
Scott Williams,
you know.
Flying.
If you can keep Hadley Parks on the bench, you've got a good team. Because I rate him highly, Hadley Parks. And Rhys Patchell. Still maintain they should develop him into a 12.
Yeah, didn't someone disagree with you about that? Someone famous said, no, you were wrong, Jiffy or something. What does Jiffy know about playing fly off at the top level anyway?
Yeah, but then he tweeted
everything.
He DM'd me after saying you're right. But he just...
You're right, I just need to take a stand for followers.
I just don't want to say anything too controversial.
That is so Jiffy. That is so bloody Jiffy. Right, time for some questions. We got shed loads this week, but not shed loads of time. So we'll...
Why have you got shed loads this week when we don't often have...
That's a question for someone who knows, mate. Here's one from Claude on email. Hi, gents. I'm often mistaken for the actor who plays Todd, the socially awkward and sexual-themed painting fanatic from Wedding Crashers.
Isn't that Frank the Tank?
So I don't know. I don't know actually, but I know the paintings. Who do you both get mistaken for regularly from Claude in Bristol? And Michelle's put on the notes here, Sonia from EastEnders? Question mark. Because I get called Sonia from EastEnders quite a lot.
Yeah.
I get mistaken for Boris Stankovic a lot.
Yes.
I get mistaken for Dave Barnes, the ex-Bath prop. When I say weekly, I'm underselling it. I mean, it's comfortably weekly. Only once at Wasps yesterday, which is like a PB, because usually it's more than that. And Dave Barnes used to like work for the RPA years ago. And yes. People say, are you still with the RPA? You're still with the RFU? It's like, wrong bloke, mate. He does ultra marathons now, weighs 9 stone.
Yeah.
But I get that a lot. Omid Jarley, the comedian, and Vin Diesel. What? You get Gareth Thomas, surely.
Yeah, I know.
You got quite a lot in common with him, haven't you?
Yeah. Who else do I get mistaken for? Martin Williams, now and again.
Ginger, yeah.
Yeah.
Rhys Patchell. Phil Steele.
Yeah. Grant Mitchell.
Harry Hill.
Don't wear glasses, mate. Voldemort.
Voldemort, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just Duncan Goodhue. Just both, shit ones, really.
Either the two guys from Right Said Fred.
Right, Dominic Aylesbury on Twitter has gone, Lions, 23-man squad to play in South Africa, 2021.
Hang on, say that again.
He's put Lions, 23-man squad to play in South Africa.
Oh, Christ. Christ, that's too hard.
Let's good. I'm not doing that one either.
That's too hard, mate. I mean, We can't do 23 players, mate. We haven't got
thank
time.
You.
I've got to go to a lunch with a sex toy company.
Any decent pre-workout game mates? I once took a load of caffeine, went for a wee, thought I was tripping. It was just a flickering light. That's Dave Hawkins. So it doesn't really make sense for that, mate. You make sure you read your tweets before
reread
you send
it, have
them.
It, even have it proofread.
But
by
I think he's talking about like any pre-match supplements.
Oh, mate, I'm sure they do loads of stuff.
Beta-alanine used to be good. That used to make your skin itch.
Yeah, but it did, but it wore off after three or four weeks. It didn't have the same effect for me.
Oh, really?
No.
You took too much of it, mate.
Overdosed, yeah.
Yeah.
Strong coffee. We used to have a load of caffeine tablets we used to take, which meant you couldn't sleep the night after and your hands were shaking. Really, it was just like so nervous before games. Anything they put out, you just hoover it up.
You used to have the Red Bull shots. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were obviously the same... 64 milligram caffeine, whatever, like what's in the Red Bull, but it's just a shot.
I stopped taking those though because the sugar just takes you up and down. And no, a nice strong coffee and, wash your hands with soap.
Question for you from Craig Taylor. Lovely photo of Craig there. Why does the scrum half tap the prop with the ball just before feeding the scrum?
He doesn't. He taps the hooker's hand so the hooker knows he's ready so the hooker can tap for the ball.
Come on, Craig.
He doesn't tap the prop, he taps the hooker's hand. Here's one from Reg Hollis on email. No, it's not. It's from Simon Finch. Just listen to your podcast, and I think you're talking about the brief chat we had about Ben Darwin last week and the ex or one of his prop and his company, which talked a lot about team shared experiences and cohesion, making winning more likely. Just listen to your podcast. How do you explain the British Lions regarding cohesion? 97 Lions beat a very cohesive South Africa team, should have beaten a very cohesive Australia in 21, arguably only lost because Hilly got taken out. Barbars regularly beat cohesive teams, not so much anymore. But that's a great question, actually, Simon. And the answer is, I don't know. What I would urge you to do is tweet Ben Darwin and actually have a look, because he's a fascinating bloke. We're going to try and get him on here in the next few weeks. Fascinating bloke. And he's very open about this stuff. And if he doesn't know, he'll tell you he doesn't know. But I expect he has got an answer for it. But copy us in, because I'm keen to know as well. That's a question... what I also think is interesting. But I've got another one, because I was going to say Reg Hollis, Tom, and Tommy and I went back to someone else's, so I feel guilty now. When I was at uni in Cardiff, says Reg, I fell madly in love with my roommate, a fiery flame-haired vixen called Ellie. No, called Elle. She did not reciprocate my affection. Been there, brother. My wife's the same. The boys stole my phone and swapped her name with one of their numbers. After dropping a baited hook via a few teasy messages, I bit and knocked on her door at 2 a.m. wearing just my underpants. Who is the biggest prankster you've played with? Any brutal prank, pranks to speak of? I mean, there are bloody hundreds. We got one lad at Sarri's who remained nameless. He turned up to a date in a pub that we arranged on a, that Kev Sorrell arranged on a dating website. And when he walked
Francois
in, Francois Pina, yeah. His wife talked to him. No,
it wasn't.
One of the lads, but he turned up in the pub for a date, covered in aftershave, dressed up, and all the lads are sitting there waiting for him. It was absolutely brutal.
When Xavier Rush first came over to this country from New Zealand, he lived with me. And being a Kiwi and playing for the Auckland Blues and having a handful of All Blacks caps, you can imagine how uber confident he was.
Yeah.
And we went out to a really nice restaurant, probably about four or five of us. And after we finished eating our fajitas and chiquitos, we were walking past a table on the way out, and there was quite a fit bird there with a bloke that was pretty ugly. And we thought that was her brother. We come to the assumption that it was her brother. Or just a colleague. And Rushy put his number on a napkin and handed it to her and said, look, here's my number. If you fancy getting in touch, brilliant. And then walked out.
Yeah.
And I'm quite an opportunist, me. So I got my mate, Jono Pritchard.
JP.
To start text. I left it like a day or so. Because
bloody Pritch, though. What's he like, though?
You don't want to sound too keen. I got my mate, Jono, to start texting him, and I was feeding him the stuff to say. And anyway, it must have been about 36 hours later, we arranged to meet Rushy in Salt Bar down Cardiff Bay. And again, as I said, being a bit of an opportunist, I was in the house and he started to get ready and he was all excited. It was an afternoon date, so I get my video camera out and I start interviewing him. I'm sort of going, Rushy, where are you off, mate? Oh, he's going, oh, on a bloody date, aren't I? She's mad keen. And I'm like going through what he's going to wear. He's giving me a fashion show. He's having a shave. He's in the shower. I've got him completely sucked in. And he leaves to go on this date. 2 p.m. Salt Bar.
Yeah.
So I said, where are you going to sit, mate? He's like, oh, I'm going to sit downstairs by the window. I'm like, that good spot. Good spot. So he leaves. Four of us then follow him. We then park up and we go in the top entrance to the Salt Bar. I got the camera out and we're videoing Rushy on his own with a bottle of wine, two glasses, and we come down the stairs and we just prank him, and he's gutted. He's complete. He gets up, he storms off, he walks out, the whole restaurant are clapping him. So he realise what's going on. I go around the boys with the camera and ask him for an apology, and he comes back and makes me turn off the camera straight away. But anyway, I give it to I give it to Rod Manning, the analyst at Cardiff Blues, and he cuts it all down into a proper video. It's like Rushy's big date, and it's got you're just too good to be true playing at the start in the background, and he storms off all by myself. So properly stitched him up. I've still got it on video actually.
Ah, brilliant. That's just perfect. I remember we might have done this before on the pod. I don't know. Apologies if we have, but I remember Nathan Catt at Bath, who's just a quality bloke, great bloke to have in the squad. Luckily, he's a really good player, so that's why he gets signed. But he's great to have around because he's constantly on the prank. And he and Mark Lilly, who used to play for the club, they are thick as thieves and just nightmare for gags and whatever. And they called the kit man at Bath, and they said, "Hi, this so and so in a Scottish accent, so and so. We're just putting together basically a long list for British and Irish Lions kit man in, I guess it was 2013, I guess. The 2013 tour to, where was it, Australia? Anyway, Australia wondered if you'd be interested. And it was like, yeah, we're at stage one, so we've got a long list. Was it South Africa? You sure? No, 09 was South Africa, wasn't it?
I didn't even care, mate.
Couldn't give a shit. So, piss off. Anyway, but they took it on and on and on, and they got to the stage where they were like I think correct, they might tweet in and correct me if I'm wrong, but they got him to the stage where they're interviewing him and doing these long interviews. they went on and on and on, and they're googling like how to, you know, the long interview technique, and they're doing these long interviews with him, and it's just getting brutal, and they're constantly pressing mute on their phone because they're pissing themselves, and then going back to it. In the end, they're flying him out to Zimbabwe. They're flying him to Zimbabwe for like final meetings, and he's like, he never, at no point does he say why Zimbabwe, and it's like, look, the final meeting, the panel meeting in Zimbabwe a week on Tuesday.
can you get the time off? So the chat I heard at Bath was that he applied for the holiday, but didn't tell anyone why. Didn't say why, and holiday, personal reasons.
He's like flying off. That's good.
In the end, they ring him, and they were like, we would like to just ask you, would you be prepared to be our kit man, our equipment technician, 2013, British and Irish Lions tour to Australia? And he obviously gets a bit of a wobble on, and he goes, it would be an honour and a privilege. And they're like, you wanker. it went on for ages, apparently. And it's like the biggest day of his life. Absolutely butchered him, and he's like, catty, just straight away do it. It's just, I love that stuff. Like, it's brutal, but I love it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's great.
Devin Dumplin on Twitter, who could chop a pint the quickest, Dave Flatman or Tom Shanklin?
Me. Can you chop a pint?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
can, mate.
I'm shit at that, so you can chop that one.
You can drink them, but you just can't chop them, can you?
No, drink them. I just, yeah.
Yeah.
A question from Luke Stoneman, quick one.
Okay.
What's your favourite Premiership ground to visit and why?
Favourite Premiership ground to visit? Do you know what, mate? I really liked Bath when I went there last week.
It's nice, isn't it?
You know, it is a nice, it's a good, friendly, family atmosphere there. I loved how close you are to the pitch. It's a great city as well, so you can have a walk around there.
Yeah.
And it's right in the middle of the city as well. I like grounds that are part of the city and the culture. And
yeah,
I did. So I'm saying Bath.
Okay, I'll say Bath because it's 2 minutes from my house. In reality, my actual favourite is Bath.
Okay.
So here's another quick one. Give me a quick answer. From Francis on email, have the Italian sides in the Pro 14 turned the corner, or are these a couple of freak results?
Yeah, they've had a couple of good results recently, okay. But I think that's more down to the opposition they're playing being crap.
Yeah, okay, that's a punchy opinion, but that's what you're here for, mate. That's why you get paid literally no.
I don't think it's too early to say where they turned a corner. I don't agree with them in the Pro 14. I think that they don't add enough. I don't agree with them being in the Six Nations. There, I've said it.
God.
I used to like playing them in the Six Nations because you could score tries against them.
Yeah, you've probably got a few of those. Yeah. A few of your tries against them.
But I don't think they are. Since they've been in 2000, have they offered enough year in, year out to warrant a place in Six Nations? I know they've beaten Scotland, they've beaten everyone bar England, but when we're talking about every single year, do they add enough? No, for me.
Okay.
But I'm punchy.
God, you're so opinionated. I know. Last question. If you've got one more, we'll do one more.
Okay.
If you haven't, we'll sack it off because I've got to go to this sex toy lunch.
Yeah. Shanks, have you met Prince William twice before? Yes, I have.
Is that it?
Yeah. All right. Ta-da.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.